Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth, and we're talking with a very special guest today, Kim Walsh Phillips. Welcome, Kim. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Wayne. I appreciate it.
She's dialing in, or we dialed her in, and she is an award-winning speaker, author, strategist, and CEO of IO Creative Group, a results-driven marketing and PR agency. Kim is a techie marketing geek. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot about that today. She's got great shoes, her bio says, and has a hatred of awareness campaigns, which I'm really intrigued by, and an obsession for marketing with a sharp focus on return on investment, ROI. She's worked with brands such as Harley Davidson and Hilton Hotels to increase revenue through direct response marketing. She's served as a keynote speaker in hundreds of conferences across the country and enjoys spreading her passion for marketing and social media through her tweets at PR Guru Kim, PR Guru Kim. And she's author of the new book, which we're going to talk a little bit about today, Awareness Campaigns Are Stupid and Other Insider Secrets to Stop Being an Advertising Victim and Start Monetizing Your Marketing. So with that, why are awareness campaigns stupid? It's an interesting title. How'd you come up with that, by the way?
Well, thanks for asking. So it's something I actually have put on my phone case, and I should apologize to those listening that I have a bit of a cold. We were kidding back and forth that I have kids, so it's a revolving door of sniffles in my home. But anyway, I have a background in public relations. It's what I graduated from college with, and worked in a corporate PR world, and then had the wonderful opportunity to start a PR firm. And as the economy got tighter and folks were looking for things to cut, the first thing that they would cut from their budget, our clients, would be their marketing and PR efforts. Because while we could show we were getting them a lot of media, we couldn't show a specific return on their investment. So I started researching, how can I prove our worth more? At the same time, I got a little bit better at sales, so I started, pounding the pavement, going out and selling, and so we started doing better. But then I had my first daughter, and so I couldn't go after this funnel of money as much. And so we're losing clients out the back end, and I'm not bringing clients in quickly as the front end. And I'm looking at my new child and suffering from the fact that I have to figure out, am I going to stay home with her for, the weeks that she should have as a newborn, or am I going to go back to work to start selling again so I can pay my staff?
Right.
And it was this horrible conundrum to be in, and I thought, you know what, I can never be in this situation again. So I started looking at how can we create a system to bring in leads on a consistent basis and show our clients our return so that we don't keep losing them, we can keep them and grow them, and discovered this world of direct response marketing. So now no ads, no campaigns, nothing that we do is just awareness-based. Everything we do is based in looking at what could it produce, what's the estimated return on every dollar spent, and then tracking to make sure that it does that. So we went from, going after awareness for clients to actually being able to provide a weekly report of this is what we said we would do and what it would return. Well, when we're doing it for them, it starts to make you look at the entire marketing world differently. So it could be kind of annoying to ride in a car with me because I look at these billboards.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because I see folks losing money because they're just doing their awareness campaign ads. And to me, that's just setting it on fire. So now it's my mission not just to do things for our clients and, for our folks that work with us, but to spread the word. That's why I wrote the book, so other people could be aware of that, and small businesses especially, when the money's so tight, they could stop wasting their money on awareness-only campaigns.
Right. So when you say that you're always able or trying to measure ROI in terms of an awareness campaign, or not an awareness campaign, but the marketing dollars that are being spent, how do you do that? I mean, for example, I have a radio show, right? And we sponsor the radio show, and sometimes we get clients, sometimes we get connections, but how do you measure ROI on all these dollars that are being spent? And maybe they shouldn't be spent.
Right, sure. So there are a lot of things that when folks start looking at this marketing this way, that they would make decisions a little bit differently. And again, I don't want to say that nothing for awareness is wrong, but it should be the first step in a marketing system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're building awareness, you want to be able to do some type of call to action that would turn your awareness campaign into a marketing campaign that can actually make you money.
Okay.
Because if you offer a call to action in every marketing piece you have with a time-sensitive action that you want them to take with a compelling reason and some added incentive for them to do so and give them a deadline, you can see directly what was your response from that and what did you get in the door. Now, it doesn't need to be a sale. I recommend that folks never start with a sale as the first thing they do when they reach out to folks, because that's not how we want to be marketed to. We want to get to know people. We want to build trust with them. We want to get, you know, talk to our friends and neighbors about it before we end up doing it, especially because we've seen too many things go wrong. So the first step would be to capture the lead so that you could start to engage them in a conversation. So
Okay. The
radio program, I'm sure, is a first step in attraction and then engagement and building that trust.
Right.
And that's how marketing should be, more of a relationship builder than a trying to go right from not knowing anything about you to becoming a sale.
Is that what you mean by monetizing your marketing?
Yeah, so when you monetize your marketing, you want to make sure that you plan ahead of time how that marketing initiative should eventually develop into a sale. So you should look at customers as their lifetime relationship that you want to have from them, from their first interaction with you
right.
to becoming a customer, remaining a customer, increasing their sales, and giving you introductions. Too many companies have the marketing and sales department working in silos. I know that was the case for some of the major corporations I've worked with. And they really need to talk to each other. Marketing should be providing strong leads to the sales department that they could then utilize in order to increase the company's revenue.
And research as well, so that the salespeople know that they're going after the right leads.
Exactly. So we're not just trying to do that statement of throw a bunch of spaghetti against the wall. We're going and seeing what sticks. We're going after a targeted market that we know actually could benefit from what we have to offer,
mm-hmm.
and that we're not, you know, the most successful companies don't waste the time of their salespeople in prospecting. If you have great sales part people, you want them to spend their time selling. You want them to be in front of the best possible lead so they can make the best case and have the greatest chance of closing. So your marketing really should fulfill the need to get those prospects through the door. If they can provide your sales team with qualified leads, it could be incredibly beneficial to your profits.
So in the book, you mentioned that marketing should be a lot more like dating. What do you mean by that?
So during my uncomfortable single years of dating.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't dated in like 30 years. It's been a long time. But
but you could probably think back just a little bit. But from being a woman, I had a different probably perspective on it. But
right. There
were two types of guys that I knew when I was set up with them that it wouldn't necessarily work out so well. So one was the narcissist, that he would show up with, you know, a shirt that was a little too tight to show me that he worked out all the time and the beautiful smile. And he was really pretty, but he would talk all night about himself. And
right.
The only time he would ask me a question was to ask me why I went out with him,
okay.
which is really just more about him.
Okay.
And then the too serious, too soon guy was the one who, by the second date, and uncomfortably even one time on the first date, asked me about, you know, meeting each other's family and getting married and bringing up many things that I was not at all ready for.
Right.
So that's what we do in marketing sometimes. You know, too many of us look at, we're either the narcissist, that we make our messaging all about ourselves.
Right.
Or with a too serious, too soon guy that we're looking to engage the prospect in a sale when we just met each other. And both of those relationships are uncomfortable and not engaging and won't build trust. So you really want to think of marketing in terms of a great courtship, that you first are attracted to each other, then you are to go through a process of courtship that you're dating, then you make the sale, which I can relate back to getting married.
Yeah.
You upsell, which would be buying your house and having kids, you get in a strong relationship. And then this is the far-fetched one because we're not talking about multiple marriages. So the introduction piece, I compare that to bringing, you know, helping to set up your friends with each other.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Good. I like that. It's a great analogy because it really, it's a good visual. And it,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're, if you are in sales, and all of us are to some degree, I mean, if you're in professional services, or you're selling product, you always have something to sell. But the question is it all about you or is it all about the prospective customer? And
right.
I think it's all about the prospective customer. But then, you know, okay, at the end of the lunch, you know, should you say, well, you know, I'd like to, you know, to represent you, or I'd like to provide services to you. It's really, I think it's more like, how can I help you? And
exactly. If you focus it on them, because people don't buy for our reasons, they buy for their reasons. And if we can discover through a process of attracting the right folks to doing some great research about what those reasons might be, what their pain points are, then all of our marketing should be about addressing those pain points and not making it about us, but really, really targeting. Because we happen to have a strong marketing component in the social media world, and I'm of the mindset that I would much rather our clients have 1,000 incredibly qualified leads than a million fans, because we're looking for them not to waste any time of their sales staff, their marketing materials, on anybody who won't make a purchase from them. So the idea behind the marketing piece is that to go after that incredibly qualified lead so you can bring it into a sale.
Is Facebook or social media marketing expensive, or is it very inexpensive?
You can go either way.
Okay.
If you are going to do things on your own, so you're not enlisting the help of outside resources, it can be incredibly time consuming, but
right.
very inexpensive.
Right.
So if you are willing to engage your audience in conversations and be on there during the day and chit chat, then you can keep your engagement level high.
Right.
But Facebook has it optimized now that if you are just like a once a day poster
right.
for a business, a very small percentage of your audience is going to see your posts, and you can pay to optimize those, but then it can get very expensive.
So
if you spend time doing it, it can be cheap, but if you don't, it's expensive.
You're the expert. They need to turn to you for this. Now, one of the things that the book also made a point of is that people shouldn't be allocating a percentage of their overall, you know, expenditure budget to marketing. Why? Why is that?
Right. So that's one of those questions. I have the wonderful opportunity to get to speak to a lot of different groups. And one of the main questions I usually get is, what percentage of my budget should I allocate to marketing? And the reality is, I would like to look for you to look at it this way. If you went to the doctor and, you know, you were told that if you didn't have a heart surgery, you were going to have a heart attack and die, or something serious was going to happen, your first question would generally not be, how much money am I going to have to spend to make this happen? Your first look at it would be, what do I need to do to fix this?
Okay.
And that's really how you need to look at marketing, and that's really with any business issue. But, you know, with marketing, you have to look at, what is the lifetime value of my customer? How much can I look at getting them over the spectrum of their life cycle? And then how much of that am I willing to allocate to recruiting them? And then can that effectively do that? So instead of trying to go after the cheapest possible solutions, which is what the, you know, most folks will do,
yeah.
you really want to look at, how can I effectively recruit the highest per value customer I can go after.
Okay. You know, our listeners out there, they're varied in terms of their background. What's the one thing our listeners, you know, in the DC metro area can do to get a higher return on their marketing dollars?
So the main thing that you can do to starting with the next ad that you put out, the next thing that you do, is to turn it into a moneymaker for you, is to put that call to action in place. If it's a pretty ad without a call to action, it's art.
Okay.
If it has a call to action, that's when you get into marketing. So you want to always make sure that you give your respondent an opportunity to give you their contact information. So whether or not that's what you give them, an opportunity to get a free report, download a coupon, enter their information on a website to sign up for an e-newsletter, enter a contest, whatever that might be, capture their information so you can start communicating with them on an ongoing basis, so you can build a relationship with them and have a greater chance of turning them into a customer down the road, and one that already knows who you are and what you do, so you have a much stronger chance of making a sale, and you have a much stronger chance of having a higher per customer value.
So if our folks want more information from you, how do they get it?
Sure. So we set up a special offer. Folks want to get the book, and it's a nice, inexpensive book. I think it's around $13 on Amazon. They can go to iocreativegroup.com/ ACS offer, so Awareness Campaigns Are Stupid offer, ACS offer, and we did something special for you folks that anyone who buys a copy of the book, if they want to submit the form, I'm going to create a special report, and it's the Secrets to Effective Facebook Advertising. So the stuff I was talking to you about, how you can do some stuff yourselves and save a lot of money, I put it together in a free report for you, and you'll get it as a bonus just for buying the book and letting us know that you did it on our page.
Excellent. Kim, thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Everyone, thanks for listening to Blueprint for Wealth, and join us next week for another special topic and special guest. And call us if you need any information at 703-218-2100. I'm Wayne Zell, and have a great week.